Let's turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 21 this morning. Matthew chapter 21. Text for the sermon is verses 15 and 16 of this chapter. We'll read together those first 16 verses. Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that were before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And now the verses of the text of the sermon. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So far we read God's holy word. I'd like to consider this text using as the theme this morning, Jesus praised by the children. 3 points of the sermon this morning will be the praises of the children, the displeasure of the chief priests, and then the response of Jesus. Jesus praised by the children, the praises of the children, the displeasure of the chief priests, and the response of Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the events of that chapter that we read a moment ago are the events of what are commonly referred to as the Passion Week. Passion literally means suffering. It's the week of Jesus' suffering, that last week of his life prior to his death on the cross. It's called the Passion Week because Jesus Christ, as the cross became closer and closer, suffered more and more intensely. He suffered all of his life long. In a very real way, Jesus suffered even in Bethlehem when he was born. However, as his life progressed and as he got closer and closer to the cross, his suffering became more intense until it reached its climax when he was on that cross during those 3 hours of darkness, at which time he experienced the wrath of God against sin. The events of Matthew 21, which we read, are the beginning of that Passion Week. The beginning of the chapter records Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Sunday afternoon in the fulfillment of several Old Testament prophecies. Jesus, as king, but very humbly, because he was the king of the kingdom of God and not of this world, entered into Jerusalem. He entered later in the day, and then he went immediately to the temple. But because it was later in the day, There was not a lot going on at the temple, and he ended up going back that evening to Bethany. The very next day, Monday morning, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem, he cursed the barren fig tree, and then immediately when he got into Jerusalem, he went back to the temple. And that's what we read of as it relates to the text for the sermon this morning. When he went to that temple on Monday morning, he did what he had done 3 years earlier at the beginning of his earthly ministry, and that was drive out the buyers and the sellers in the temple. He saw the corruption that had taken place in the temple. The money changers, who had the tacit approval of the religious leaders at that time, permitted that corruption. There was a legitimate business that needed to be done around the temple. However, they were corrupt. They basically were greedy and were making a profit by dishonesty at the expense of the people. Jesus saw that, and he quotes the Old Testament again, and he calls the temple the house of prayer, and he says that it is not a den of thieves. And so what he ended up doing, like he had done earlier in his ministry, was drive out those buyers and sellers with his authority. Clearly his power was on display there. All it took was one man in the presence of this hustling and bustling temple, many men engaged in this corruption, but the one man, Jesus, by his power and authority, drove out those corrupt buyers and sellers. This time, even without the whip that he had the first time that he did that. That leads to the event of the text for the sermon this morning. What a contrast we have here. Very powerfully, Jesus drives out of the temple these corrupt buyers and sellers. But then he welcomes into the temple, as we read in verse 14, the blind and the lame. The blind and the lame, and clearly, as is evident from our text, other adults and children, and even the chief priests and the scribes, possibly at a distance, witnessing about what was to take place. But those corrupt men go out, and then Jesus welcomes especially those with those infirmities, the blind and the lame, and Jesus proceeds to do what he had done so many times during his earthly ministry. He shows compassion and mercy upon those in need. He sees those that are blind, and he gives them sight. He observes those who are lame and he causes them to walk, all of which were expressions of his love and mercy for those in need, and all of which simply pointed to what he would do very shortly in his death on the cross. When Jesus did that in the temple, healed those blind and the lame, we read about these children. We read about these children who praised Jesus for what he was doing. Notice that in verse 15, "And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." You can picture the scene inside the temple. Jesus, having just performed these amazing works, and then these children crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Notice that these were children. Obviously, that's the connection this morning to the sacrament of baptism. We have on our minds this morning the children of the church. We don't know how old precisely these children were. The word that's used for children here sometimes in the New Testament is even used to refer to infants in the church. It must not have been infants because they were able to speak. But the fact that this word is sometimes used for infants indicates that the children that we are talking about here were young children, toddlers, or those that are 10 or 11 or 12 years old, witnessing these events that Jesus had just done and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." children, young children, praised Jesus for what he had done. Notice in the second place with respect to this, what they did or what they said. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Those were expressions of praise. They called Jesus the Son of David. That was another way of saying very clearly and very powerfully that this Jesus who was performing these miracles was the Messiah. He was the one that God had promised for thousands of years that would sit upon the throne of David and be the king of God's people, Israel. The Son of David is the clearest reference to the fact that this Jesus was king. And then they say, "Hosanna to that Son of David." Hosanna literally means "save now" or "save, I pray." And the idea is that this Son of David, this king, was the only one truly that could save. Save now, not from the physical enemies that surrounded Israel, but the one truly that could bring salvation to the people of God. This phrase, "Hosanna to the Son of David," was meant to be a word of praise to Jesus. And we know that from the text because of what Jesus says at the very end of verse 16. "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." That's what these children were doing. Whether they understood it or not, and we'll get to that in a little bit, they were praising Jesus by these words. And notice in the third place, with respect to this praise, the manner in which they did it. It was children in the first place. They said these specific words, but now notice how they did that. Children crying in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." That's significant. They didn't just say it, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They didn't whisper it with a certain amount of fear to each other. It wasn't just among a few of them and maybe with their parents as they observed what Jesus had done. They cried out, as children do, as we all know, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It was from their hearts as children that they praised Jesus. Now, beloved, the question that you have to ask as it relates to this praise of the children is how they did this and why they did this. These are children. Children who probably didn't understand everything they were seeing, and children probably who didn't even understand the words themselves that they were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But yet, when they witnessed these events, these children cried out these words of praise. How did this come about? The answer to that question is that these children learned to praise Jesus from their parents and from other adults. It's very significant that in Matthew chapter 21, the way in which Matthew records the events that took place was in the order in which we read them. We read at the beginning of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Immediately after that, we read about this event in the temple. If you notice in verse 17 and following, what is recorded there is what Jesus did with respect to that fig tree, cursing that barren fig tree. These events in Matthew 21 are not chronological. We know that because of what we read in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 makes very clear that Jesus went to the temple after he went there on that Sunday in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then went back to Bethany, and then Monday morning went back to Jerusalem, on the way to which he cursed that barren fig tree, and then the events of this text. The point is that there's a reason Matthew, when he wrote the gospel, put these two events side by side. His entry into Jerusalem and his driving out the buyers and sellers, healing the blind and lame, and receiving the praise of these children. The reason they're side by side all comes down to this phrase, Hosanna to the Son of David. What did the multitudes and the parents and the adults cry out when Jesus rode into Jerusalem triumphantly? Hosanna to the Son of David. What did the children the very next day when they witnessed these events of Jesus cry out? Hosanna to the Son of David. The point that we learn from this is that these children learned this from their parents. They probably didn't even understand everything that was going on. But so much was this in them, not only from learning it from the previous day, but also a life of learning the Psalms, which is where this comes from, that they were able to cry this out in praise to Jesus. Beloved, there's rich application for us as parents with respect to our children in this respect. Negatively, we learn something that is very humbling. And what we learn is that oftentimes our children say the same things as us. They imitate us as parents, and they imitate others. How many of us as parents have experienced that? When observing your toddlers or even your older children, you hear something come out of their mouths, and the first thing that you think is, where did that come from? Where in the world did that expression come from? Certainly not something that you as a parent said and you make the connections. Well, it's probably something that they heard from their older brother or sister. It's probably something that they heard from someone else on the playground at school. But they learn things. And it oftentimes comes from others. And our children learn from us as parents. They learn negatively things that we don't want them to learn. And that's the humbling truth that we learn from this passage, that as parents, we need to be so careful about the way in which we speak and what we say in the presence of our children. They're going to follow us in how we speak and in what we speak. If we're the type of people that are always talking about other people and always talking about how bad other people are or slandering other people, don't be surprised when your children have it in them to always talk about other people and always talk about other people at school and how bad they are. If you as parents in the presence of your children are always complaining, always grumbling, always finding stuff that's wrong, being negatively critical about everything, don't be surprised if your children grow up and have the exact same attitude about the things that they're dealing with. Children do the same thing as parents. These children praised Jesus. And beloved, that's the positive that we need to learn from this passage. It's not just instructing them. We've talked about that a lot. This is specific. This is the way in which we speak and what we speak. We need to, by our language, praise Jesus so that our children, in observing us, praise Jesus by the way that they speak. Now, that involves our everyday language. We don't curse. We don't speak in a dirty way because we know that that language doesn't praise Jesus. And if we do, our children are going to follow in that way. Instead, the way we speak is in such a way that our everyday language even is praising to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. We speak kind words, encouraging words. We don't lie. We don't slander. We don't tear people down. We're joyful in the way that we speak so that our children see it. And in their everyday language, praise Jesus. But then it's even more specific. It's specific to the actual words of the Bible, the actual words of the songs of Zion and other songs that praise Jesus, that we teach them so that they in turn do the same. And so we need to teach them. We need to take them on our lips ourselves. We need to sing as parents, so that in our singing as parents, our children learn to sing the songs of Zion and praise to Jesus. We need to take on our lips the words of Scripture, so that our children are able to take on their lips the words of Scripture in praise to Jesus. Beloved, it's humbling when you think about this idea that our children follow in how we speak and what we say. But it's also exhilarating to think that in our everyday language and by our specific instruction, we can, by instruments in God's hands, work in the hearts of our children praises to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what these children did. And when they did that, the chief priests and the scribes were angry. Notice that in verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple, and then a little bit later, they were sore displeased. Sore displeased. Filled with indignation, literally, is the idea there. The insides of them boiling, as we sometimes speak, in fury and anger over what they were witnessing. This wasn't just a little, I don't really like what's going on here. This was heartfelt, deep-seated anger towards what he was observing. They were observing. They were angry at everything they saw. It mentions there in verse 15 the wonderful works of Jesus. They were angry when they witnessed Jesus driving out the buyers and sellers. That made them very angry because those buyers and sellers were doing that with the approval of the chief priests. They too were profiting from the greed and corruption that was taking place around the temple. And with that coming to a conclusion, at least at this time, they understood that that affected them. They were angry at witnessing the compassion and mercy of Jesus on the blind and the lame. This is what they dealt with for 3 years during his earthly ministry. Jesus repeatedly would perform these miracles, which they admittedly knew were unique to Jesus. He was different than everyone else. He was the Son of God that had power like none else. And they knew the attraction that those miracles brought, all of which took away from their power and their influence, and therefore always the desire was to silence and destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. But what especially made them angry was this, the children. Notice that. And when they saw the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And that it was the children especially with which they were upset is evident from the question that they asked Jesus in verse 16. They didn't question him about other things, about driving the buyers and sellers out, about healing the blind and the lame. What they questioned him about was this, hearest thou what these say? In the presence of everyone, and with the idea that what is going on here, don't you know that they're saying this? They should stop saying what they are saying as children. It was the children crying out that made these chief priests so angry. You understand why? Chief priests and the scribes were the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones pulling the strings in Israel. They were the ones who had the power and the influence over the people in Israel. And now they see these children praising Jesus and they couldn't take it. It's one thing if there are a few adults who want to follow this man, Jesus, and shout praises to this Jesus. They couldn't stomach it that it was children. So much were they envious of Jesus. We read that later in the Gospels. And so much did they hate that Lord Jesus Christ. And so much were they selfish in this regard that their anger boiled over when they saw those children because they understood that they were losing the power and the influence They wanted the power. They wanted the influence over the next generation. These are the scribes, after all, who had the purpose in their life to teach their understanding of the Scriptures, which was not one in which Jesus was proclaimed the Messiah. They hated that children praised Jesus. That was the spirit of the devil in those scribes and chief priests. We know that because Jesus in John 8 referred to those same Pharisees and scribes and chief priests as those who were the children of their father, the devil. It's the spirit of the devil that hates children praising Jesus. The devil in the kingdom of Satan knew what happened this morning, beloved, and they hated it. Their anger boiled over this morning when they saw believing parents with children, a child in their arms, answer questions that said, "I believe that this child is a child of God according to the faithfulness and promise of God in the Scriptures. And I want this child to have the mark of the covenant upon him," her, "the sign of baptism." The devil was filled with anger this morning when he sees a child being dedicated to Jesus, a child that will grow up and praise Jesus. A month ago, when where I was am standing right now, all of the children of this church, the little toddlers in the front, to the 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds in the back, singing praises to Jesus, filled the devil with anger. In the schools every day, in catechism on Mondays, when we open the Psalter and when we sing, the devil hates it. When your very little children are in the back of the van after hearing the songs of Zion on the CD over and over again, and when they get to the point where all of a sudden the same words start coming out of their mouths, there's members of the kingdom of Satan that are boiling over in anger. The devil hates children praising Jesus. The devil hates that because he knows that it's another generation, according to the faithfulness of God, that are going to be saved by this Jesus. And beloved, understanding that, we need to know that he attacks. We've talked a lot about the attack upon children, but if you understand this passage, you see that the specific attack is not going to be upon the children. The devil's attack is going to be upon the parents. That was the connection that we saw earlier in the sermon. If the devil is going to silence the children, he's going to first go after the parents. And so we need to understand that as parents, reflecting on the way that we speak and how we speak and what we say in the presence of our children and what we teach them regarding the praises to Jesus. If we are silenced as parents, our children will be too. And so we need to continue to be very diligent as parents in the way that we speak and what we say to work these things in their minds and in their hearts. We teach them the songs of Zion. We sing as parents. Sing in your homes as parents. Sing at your devotional times and times of worship, so that in the home, not just at the school from the teacher and not just at church with Sunday school, but in the home from parents, our children learn how and what to say to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that the attack is upon you as parents to silence the children. Jesus responded. And that response is verse 16, as we read in Matthew 21. Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Jesus responded to that question that was an attempt by the scribes and chief priests to silence the children. It was an expression of their displeasure with what was going on. And he responds with a very emphatic yea. Notice that. "Hearest what these say?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I hear what these children are saying." And then he says, have ye never read? He quotes the Old Testament, Psalm 8. This is verse 2, the beginning of that verse. Psalm 8 is a psalm all about praise and glory to God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? And then these words about what comes out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. But he prefaces it with, have ye never read? The importance of that is it's really an indictment of the guilt of these scribes and chief priests. These were the scribes and chief priests. These were the men in all of Israel who understood, supposedly, the Old Testament scriptures better than everybody else. They knew the Psalms. They knew Psalm 8, which I just quoted and which Jesus quotes. And when Jesus says, have you never read? What he is saying is this shouldn't surprise you, much less anger you. Always God has said that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God will be praised. And right here, what you just witnessed is the fulfillment of that. When these children cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. He quotes Psalm 8, which is all about praising and glorifying God, and ties together with that the fact that children do that. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus would respond this way with respect to the children. Jesus always had a concern for children. All throughout His ministry, He made it clear that He was not just concerned with the adults in Israel, He was concerned with the children. There's one incident especially that indicates that. Earlier in His ministry, Jesus was surrounded by a group of parents and His disciples. And these parents had their infants with them and their young children with them, and these parents wanted to bring them to Jesus in order that Jesus would bless them. The disciples witnessed that, and they tried to stop these parents from doing that. And the reason they did that was they thought that Jesus didn't have time for children. He has more important things to do than deal with these children, much less infants who aren't even able to understand what He's saying. In that passage in Mark chapter 10, we read that when Jesus witnessed what the disciples were doing, He was sore displeased. That's why I bring this up in connection with this passage. Those chief priests and those scribes were sore displeased when they saw these children crying praises to Jesus. It's the exact same word in that incident in Mark 10. With the same anger that the chief priests had when they witnessed the praise of Jesus by these children, did Jesus have when the disciples would not let the children come to Him? Beloved, that's how much Jesus has a concern for the children of the church. And He has that concern for the children of the church, and He wants nothing else than the children of the church to be brought to Him because He loves them. And He sets His love upon them. And He saves them. And He saves them as children. It's these children that in a very short while Jesus Christ would go to the cross for. It's these children that He works in their hearts as children faith. That was faith that led to the praise of Jesus. It's faith when our children stand here at a Christmas program and from their hearts sing praises to Jesus. Do they understand it completely as children? No. Do they understand all of the reasons why they are singing what they are singing? No. But is there in them the life of Jesus Christ? Yes. And is therefore, when these words come forth out of their mouths, are they truly words of praise? Yes. God, beloved, is praised by our children. And that's the point of Psalm 8, and that's why Jesus quotes Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, verse 2, it talks about babes and sucklings. having perfected in them, worked in them, the praise of God. Psalm 8 is all about glorifying God. The creation glorifies God that God made. And God says in Psalm 8, even the babes and the sucklings, the infants, because I made them and because I saved them, praise God. It's no surprise, therefore, that when our young children, and when our toddlers, and when our 8, 9, 10, and 11, and 12-year-olds have come out of their lips the praises of Jesus, God is glorified. It's an amazing truth. And that's why we have them with us on the Lord's Day, right here with us in God's house, to worship His name. And that's why we baptize them, because they're God's. What a humbling truth that is, beloved. Humbling for the reasons we talked about, that God uses us as adults in the church. It's not just parents, it's here in God's house too. All of us as adults who praise and worship to work this in our children. But what an amazing truth. That's what's going on when it comes out of their lips. When we sit here and we watch, for example, a Sunday school program with our children singing praises to God, what gets us excited is not how cute they are when they do that. What gets us excited is Psalm 8, verse 2, in the words of Jesus, that when this happens, God and Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, through His death on the cross of these children, is glorified. May God, from our children, continue to be praised. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this word that we could consider this morning. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us children who love Thee and who from their mouths praise and serve Thee. And may that continue to take place from the children of this church. Forgive, O God, what was said or heard in sin. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.